God is good, amen. God is good, amen. All the time, God is good, amen. We truly are grateful again for this privilege to stand before you today to tell you the same thing we do every week. God is God, and we are not, amen. Amen. God is God, and we are not. We're truly grateful. Thank you, Pastor Michael Williams, for being here, sharing with us today. Amen. Thank God for our choir. Amen. And we just thank God that God's program just keeps on going. Amen. My grandfather told me, one monkey don't stop the show. Amen. Well, God's program just keeps on rolling. Amen. So we thank God for that today. Amen. Amen. We're happy that we get to share with you our second sermon in this series. And some folks have already been asking me questions just from the title. It's called Joy in Detours. Amen. Joy in Detours. And we ask you to turn to Philippians. You don't have to stand because we're going to be in there. So you don't have to stand. Don't have to stand. Deacons, you can sit down because I'm not going to read it. Amen. That's what I was saying. Amen. But open your Bibles to Philippians 4, amen, and we'll be going through that entire text, amen. Now, if you want to stand with me the entire time, that's okay, amen. But just park yourself in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9 today, amen. And we want to give a quick review of last week. Some of you weren't here with us last week, and we wanted to talk to you really quick, give you a review so you understand the context of today's message. Last week, we talked about the destination, amen. And so many of us, the destination, we've been fooled about what the destination of life is, what the goal of life is. And quickly last week we said, to reach the destination, you must give up confidence in all of those things that seem like the destination, amen. Remember last week Paul said everything that he thought was important, everything that made him somebody, Paul said those things he gave up, amen. Those things, the confidence he placed in those things, Paul said he counted them as dung, amen, amen. Some of y'all last week, I got a couple text messages said, I'm letting this dung alone, amen. And y'all need to understand that we are pursuing some things that God has not asked us to pursue, amen. And we are chasing after things that we think mean that we have life. And if it's not him, it's not life, amen. Secondly, we said the enemy seeks to fool you about what the destination is, amen. That's the enemy's job, to deceive the brethren about what the destination is. And then we said the destination is not somewhere you get immediately, amen. It's not going to be somewhere that you get overnight. It's not going to be something that happens instantly. And the most important part that we left you with last week is that the destination is to be like Jesus Christ, amen. Then when you look at your life, we do this in our country that we have the haves and the have-nots. We have the rich and the poor, and we even have the audacity as a country to look at other worlds and call them underdeveloped and all this and all that, because what we have made the destination is stuff and things, amen. But we understand that you can have lots of stuff and things and still not have what you need, amen. Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? So the destination is not the stuff and things, but the destination is to be like Jesus Christ. That means to love like Jesus Christ. That means to give like Jesus Christ. That means to serve like Jesus Christ. That means to forgive like Jesus Christ. The goal is to be like Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the goal is to be like Jesus. So that's the destination. That is the destination. And you need to understand that as we press towards our destination, as Paul said, he said he forgot those things which were behind him, and he pressed forward to those things which are ahead of him. So as we press forward to the things that are ahead of us, you and I must realize that along this journey, we will have some detours. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, we're going to have some detours. So we are in Philippians 4 today. And the key verse in Philippians 4 that we want to focus on today is verse number 4, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Now some of you folks that I want to be, you know, you want to act like you read that and it's easy. Amen. Amen. You're like, oh, I'm always rejoicing. Oh, no matter what comes my way, I'm always. And now some of you may be at that level of maturity. Amen. And God bless you. Amen. But some of us, when we read rejoice always, yeah, we do that, Loretta. We say, always? Lord, do you really mean always and in every circumstance and in every situation that I go through and every up and every down and every in between? Do you really mean always? Do you mean even when the path that I'm taking takes a detour that I did not plan? Do you mean then do I rejoice? Amen. And the answer is yes. And it's not always an easy answer for us to hear, because in our flesh, if we're honest, it is very hard to rejoice always. And I'm going to tell you why before we jump into the meat of the text. The reason why, remember last week when Paul again said in Philippians 3, he talked about rejoicing in the Lord. And in this context, he says the same thing. He does not say rejoice in your paycheck. Okay, it's important that you understand, because sometimes the paychecks, maybe some of y'all make too much money. Y'all ain't experienced this. Amen. Sometimes the paycheck is not what you plan. I got a witness in the back. Amen. Sometimes the paycheck is not what you plan. You had mapped it out what you was going to pay and how you was going to get this done. And all of a sudden the paycheck comes in and you're short $80 on your Excel energy bill. Somebody ain't been there. Amen. Rod, you've been there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I cannot say to rejoice means that I rejoice in my paycheck, because my paycheck is not a sure thing. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, my paycheck is not a sure thing. Now I know Gilbert Clark likes to build cars, amen. And he's got some fine automobiles that I've seen him put together. But one thing Gil will tell you is that you can't rejoice in your car, because that car will sometimes break down, amen. That car will sometimes need new tires that you don't have money for. Amen. That car will sometimes need new brakes that you hadn't planned for. So you can't rejoice in a car, because a car is temporary. Amen. Y'all see where I'm going. Amen. You can't even rejoice in your relationship with your boo. Amen. As much as y'all think y'all love each other. Amen. As much as she gives you the you know, those butterflies in your stomach, as much as he makes you bat your eyes, you can't rejoice even in that relationship, because y'all know y'all don't always get along. Amen. You might be fronting at church right now. Amen. Now, don't y'all tell on nobody. So you cannot rejoice and even your human relationships, because our human relationships are not stable. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. They're not stable. That's right. Parents with your children, you can't rejoice in them, because guess what? It ain't stable. Amen. It ain't stable. No. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, see, no matter what I'm going through, the one thing I've learned about him, that no matter what my life is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So my joy rests in the fact that even in my unstable life, he is stable. Amen. Even in my chaos, he is peace. Amen. Even in my downs, he is up. So I rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. It doesn't mean that everything's good in my life, but it does mean that even though the stuff going on in my life is going on, God is good. Amen. When tears are rolling down my eyes, God is good. Amen. When I can't find strength to take another step, God is good. When the check is short and the bills can't be paid, God is. Somebody is shout with me today. Amen. Somebody shout with me today. God is good. Amen. So I can rejoice at all times, because my joy is founded in a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. That's why some folks can walk into a doctor's office and get a diagnosis and still be shouting. And the doctor will look at him and say, why are you shouting? He say, because yesterday he was a healer. And today he's a healer. And tomorrow he'll be a healer. My joy. My joy. My joy is in the Lord. See, we talked about this. We all got this path that we're going on, this destination we're trying to get to. And I know some of y'all, you want to set your map, and you want to go. You want to know when you're going to stop. You know, like when my grandfather and my grandmother used to travel, they'd map out 500 miles, and they sleep after 500 miles. They take their road trip, they drive their 500, wherever they end up. They stay in for the night. Then they get up, do another 500 miles. That was their routine. When we rode in the car with them, we would watch the mileage to see when we were going to stop. Amen. Okay? 500 miles, then we stop. And some of us are like that. We want our lives to be mapped out with no detours. I'm trying to save some of y'all some stress today to let you know that that's not how it's going to happen. Amen. That there are going to be detours in your life. And even when you have detours, you can still have joy. Amen. See, Paul in verse 1 of chapter 4, he was talking to the Philippian church. And these were folks that Paul loved. And you read in verse 1 how he expresses how much he loved them. And look, let me just tell you a thing about pastors and those who preach to you. Look, you better make sure the folks love you, right? Because if they love you, they're going to tell you the truth. Amen. If they love you, they're going to tell you that, hey, it's not always going to be easy, but God is always good. Amen. Paul loved the Philippian church. They represented evidence of his ministry. They represented that God was working in and through him. And so Paul had an affection for them. And as Paul was talking to them, he wanted them to know that he loved them and that God wanted the best for them. Amen. And because he loved them and wanted God's best for them, look at verse 3. Paul called them out of their foolishness. Amen. Let me tell you the thing that will mess you up, because life's going to bring you detours. So this is a little detour from the core text. I want to give this to you because it's important. In verse 3, Paul was talking to two ladies in the church who were both strong ladies who had come to Christ and had taken up leadership positions in the church, but they were causing conflict in the church, not over doctrinal stuff, but because she wore the same dress that she wore on the same Sunday she wore it. Amen. The text doesn't say that. Amen. But it does say that it was a personal conflict that was going on in the church between two ladies who were seen in the church as two leaders. Amen. There is nothing that will detour us like difficulties in our relationships. Amen. See, when we talk about the flow of God, we talk about the flow of the Spirit in his church, it is required that God's people operate in harmony. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, we got to operate in harmony. See, some of you have joyless lives because you are not living in harmony with other believers. Amen. Some of you cannot experience the full manifestation of the joy of God in your life because you are always stirring up mess. Amen. Always stirring up conflict. And you cannot experience the joy of the Lord if you are in the mess. Amen. Paul said, look, I want you to stress to them. I want you to admonish them. I want you to make sure that they understand that spiritual stability depends on mutual love, harmony, and peace between believers. Amen. We cannot experience God's joy if we always worried about sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so are brother and brother. Amen. We've got to be able to live in harmony so that we can feel the manifestation of the joy of the Lord. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I love you. Just wanted to see you. Amen. Don't lie to nobody. Amen. Nothing makes this journey more difficult than strife between brothers and sisters. Nothing makes this journey more difficult, makes the journey joyless like strife between brothers and sisters. Every parent in the house knows that. Amen. My kids know. Look, they will start arguing with each other, and I check out. I'm like, look, all I want is some peace. That's all I want in this house. Brothers get along with brothers, and sisters get along with sisters, and then we all gonna get along with dad. Amen. And that's what Paul was saying here. Look, look, y'all, don't minimize conflict and the impact of conflict within the body. Amen. Some of y'all know it tears at you, right? It weakens a body when folks are not at peace and working in harmony, when folks are working against each other and not treating each other right. You cannot experience the joy of the Lord if you treat me bad. Amen. You cannot say that you've got the joy of the Lord in your life and you are treating a sister in the church like she ain't your sister. Amen. You cannot say that you have the joy of the Lord and there's certain brothers whose hands you won't shake or you won't say good morning to. You cannot say you have the joy of the Lord if you are not at peace with your brothers and sisters. Amen. That's a requirement. Even before you can digest what we're going to get into, you've got to understand that you can't walk in joy if you're not walking in harmony with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Necessary. Amen. Amen. So let me tell you this. A detour is a happening beyond your control that changes the path that you are traveling. Okay? A detour is a happening beyond your control that changes the path you are traveling. Notice, I did not say a detour is a wrong turn. Okay? That's a whole nother sermon. Amen. Because you can make a wrong turn and it not be a detour. Amen. Okay? A wrong turn is by choice. Amen. A detour is something that is imposed upon you without you having a say. Amen. So we need to understand that. So don't confuse a detour with a wrong turn or what my other D word is, disobedience. Amen. Don't confuse a detour with disobedience, okay? A few things that we need to understand about detours. Number one, we can rejoice during detours because they change your planned course, but they do not change your destination. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the detour does not change your destination. See, some of y'all getting so bent out of shape because you had something planned and a detour came and you wanted to go straight down 287 to get yourself to Texas, but a detour came and you had to divert another way. You're getting so bent out of shape about a detour when what you need to focus on is that the destination remains the destination. Amen. Got yourself so worked up because it didn't go the way you thought it should go. Look what Psalms 37 and 23 says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. If God is ordering your steps, my brothers and my sisters, then God is allowed to put some detours in your way. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is allowed to put some detours in my life. Yeah, yes, he is. He is. Look, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we all know this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Some of you get so bent out of shape at detours. Well, how are you going to get out of shape at a detour if God is the one directing your path? You can't go where he is not directing you. You can't go where he is not guiding you. So if the path he has guided you on leads to a detour, somebody ought to be shouting when they get to the detour. Amen. Because God orders your steps. Philippians 1 and 6 says, for I am confident in this, that he who began a great work in you shall be faithful to complete it to the very day of Jesus Christ. Amen. A detour does not mean that the destination has changed. He who began a great work shall be faithful to complete it. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God's still on the job. Now, secondly, we were just down in Austin, Texas, Round Rock, Texas. Amen. And celebrating my niece's graduation, and as we were driving, there were lots of roads that we wanted to go on, but especially by Round Rock Donuts. Lord have mercy. If you ain't never had them, amen. I had to get on. I got to get on the treadmill a lot this week. Amen. But there were some signs up that were consistent with what the sermon is about today, and it says detour, road closed, right? And no matter how much I wanted to do, I couldn't go down that road because that road was closed. It had a warning sign. It had cones. It had all of these things that were telling me not to go down this road. So since I was preparing for the sermon, I took a deeper look at what was going on the road that I wasn't supposed to go on. Amen. So in the second point is we can rejoice during detours because they keep us from dangerous roads that are not safe for us to travel down. Amen. You cannot get mad at God for putting up a detour on a road that is not drivable. Amen. You can't get mad at God for putting a detour on a road that is being repaved. You can't be mad at God for putting a detour on a bridge where the bridge is out. Amen. Some of you ought to thank God that he kept you from some roads that you wanted to go down, but God said that road's not safe right now. That road's not ready for you right now. That road will only cause you hurt and pain, and that's not how God operates. Amen. You're mad because God took somebody else down that road. You're mad because God allowed your sister to go down that road or your brother to go down that road, and you thought that that was your road too. But look, God knows the plans that he has for you. Plans not to do you harm, but to give you future and to give you a hope. Amen. God has put some detours up in our lives because he understands that road is not in good condition. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, some roads are not in good condition. See, Psalm 121, 7 and 8 says this: the Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Amen. I am so glad that that's in the Bible. Amen. I'm so glad that when I can't even look out for myself, amen, God is looking out for me. Amen. When I want to go right and God knows everything in me wants to go right, God says if I don't put up a detour, he's going to go down a road that is not good for him. If I don't put up a detour, he's going to go left and go down a road that's not good for him. So I'm glad today that God protects my life. Amen. You are here today because God threw up some detours. Amen. You might not have asked for them, but your mama was praying. Amen. You might not have asked for them, but your daddy was praying. You might not have asked for them, but the mothers of the church were praying, and God propped up a detour to keep you from a road that was going to destroy you. Amen. Yeah, some of y'all shout when you get home. Amen. You too dignified right now. Amen. But some of y'all will shout because you'll remember that road that you almost went down. That maybe you lost friends on that road. Maybe you lost loved ones on that road. But the Lord kept you. The Lord kept you. Put up a detour. You said, oh, I can't go out tonight, guys. I got a cold. You better thank God for that detour. Amen. Well, God, I got to work overtime. God, yeah, you better thank God for that detour. Amen. He kept you from roads that were not safe. I was driving down MLK about, I mean, it was a year ago, and there was this huge pothole. A storm had come, and there was a huge pothole, and you couldn't see the pothole. And y'all know down Colorado Boulevard, everybody's going about 40. And you hit a pothole going 40, you got problems. Amen. And so we saw this car in front of us hit it. And we couldn't, because the way traffic was going, we couldn't navigate away from it. And so we ended up hitting it as well. And it tore up two of my front wheel and my back wheel, just totally blew out. And so we drove over into the McDonald's parking lot. And there was about seven other cars who had the same condition we did, right? So we got on the phone, and we called Public Works, and we called Public Works and said, look, somebody needs to get a cone or something in this road because this road is dangerous. It is tearing up people's cars left
and right. Amen. And as I thought about that, I thank God for the experience, and it helped me to appreciate the fact when I see cones. Amen. Help me to appreciate the fact when I see the sign that says road closed, that means that there's something on the other side of that road that's not good for you. Amen. Some of you got to thank God for road closed. Amen. Some of you got to thank God for relationship closed. Amen. Some of y'all got to thank God for job closed. Amen. You got to thank God not just for the open door, but thank God for the closed door, because there's some things that God has kept out of your life because of some detours. He didn't change the destination. He's still continuing the work that he has for you. But God knew what was on the other side. So we put up the detour. Psalms 23, y'all know it by heart. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thank God for roadblocks, for detours that the shepherd has kept me safe from. Amen. He has kept me safe from some things that would otherwise take my life. Amen. And today God says the same thing, that you can rejoice that what the enemy tried to convince you was a defeat, God says to you today, no. It was a detour, amen. Because, see, God always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ. So we never lose, amen. We're never on the losing end, but God will detour us to keep us from experiencing things that he does not want us to experience this. Now, let me give you this note. I've seen some foolish people. Hopefully you're not one of them. Who've seen the sign that says road closed. And just because they think they who they are, they get out the car and they move the sign. Y'all know what I'm talking about, amen. And then they get mad when they got to go to Discount Tire because they got a nail in their tire, amen. Nobody told you to move the sign, amen. And I'm telling you today, don't move the signs that God has placed in your life. If God says detour, if God says road closed, then keep going the way God is guiding you. Quit trying to open that relationship again. He told you he was no good in the first place, amen. I know she's got sweet smelling perfume, but the Lord had already told you about her. Amen. Closed. Road closed. Amen. Look, I can say what I want. The new guy's coming. Amen. The road is closed. Amen. Lastly, we can rejoice in detours because our GPS is never off as we travel. Our GPS is never off as we travel. Somebody says, what does GPS stand for? No, I know what y'all is going to say. Global Positioning Satellite. Amen. That's not what it stands for in my life. It stands for God's plans stand. Amen. God's plans stand. Amen. That no matter where I'm at, God's plans stand. Amen. We were driving, and Nathan was my navigator down there in Texas, and we didn't get lost, I don't think. We pretty much made it to our destinations as we were supposed to. Amen. But one thing you have to understand, that as detours come in your life, you have to understand that have your GPS on. Amen. That as God takes you down this road, and he might turn you to the left, and he might turn you this way and have you go straight again, in all of those detours, make sure you understand that God's plans stand. Psalms 33, 10 and 11 says, "The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation." Look, can't nobody stop God. Amen. Nobody can stop God's plans. Nobody, let me say it again, can stop God's plans. Amen. What God has spoken in your life and over your life, can't nobody stop it. Amen. Every morning I get up and I say, I don't worry about it, because I know that what God has spoken about my life, can't nobody stop it. Amen. What God says my life is going to do, can't nobody stop it, because God's plans stand. Amen. Look at Romans 8 and 28. Y'all know this by heart. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. God's plans always stand. Look at Genesis 50 and 20. Joseph, after being sold, put into a pit and laid there for dead by his brothers, after being sold into slavery, after being incarcerated in jail, Joseph comes confronting his brothers and says to them, "What the enemy means for destruction, God has turned it for good, for the salvation of many, because God's plans always stand." Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, God's plans always stand." Say, "Neighbor, God's plans always stand." Some of you are thinking about giving up today, but I want you to know that God's plans always stand. Some of you have been thinking about throwing in the towel and never coming back and not doing, but God's plans always stand. Amen. God's plans always stand. And you and I must understand that because God's plans always stand, we've got to praise him during our detours. We've got to thank him when the detours come up in our lives. And we have to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, we shall rejoice. I close with this in Philippians 4, 5 through 9. It tells us about the navigation points that we should have as we are traveling under God's GPS system. When Nathan was down there in Austin, he put the address in his phone, and then the lady on the phone would then tell us, "In 400 miles, turn right," right? And we would do what the GPS said. And because we did what the GPS said, we always arrived safely to our destination. And the GPS had this thing that if there was traffic in the way, the GPS would tell us, "Your route has been delayed a few minutes for a traffic incident up ahead," so we could prepare ourselves for what was up ahead on the road. And that's what Paul was saying here to the Philippian church in verses 5 through 9. He said, if your GPS is going to be set right, he says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let them know that the Lord is near." If your GPS is going to be set right, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And he said, when you have your GPS set right, you can sit back in your car and know that everything's going to be all right. He said, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Somebody said, I don't know why I'm calm in this situation. I don't know why I'm not all worked up about the situation. I'll tell you why. You've got your GPS set right. And when your GPS is set right, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and guard your mind. Have I a witness today? I've been through some things that should have took me out, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guarded my heart and guarded my mind. I've had some heartbreaks that should have taken me out, but I had my GPS set right, and he gave me peace that passes all understanding. Have I a witness today? You were down and you were out, but your GPS was set right, and when you should have been crying in your room, hidden away from everybody, you were still coming out and had a praise on your lips, still were coming out, had dancing in your feet and clapping in your hands. Why? Because your GPS was set right. Somebody told me that he that began a great work shall be faithful to complete it to the very day of Jesus Christ. So I stopped by to tell you this morning, no matter the detour, God's plan stand. No matter the heartache, God's plan stand. No matter the disappointment, God's plan stand. No matter the up and down, God's plan stand. Yes, God's plan stand. Come here, Daniel, thrown in the lion's den. Daniel, what you gonna do? He said, God's plan, they stand. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown in the fiery furnace. What you gonna do? God's plan stand. Come here, David, looking at Goliath. What you gonna do? God's plan stand. Come here, Moses, trapped at the Red Sea. What you gonna do? God's plan stand. Come here, Vernon. What you gonna do? God's plan stand. God's plan stand. God's plan stand. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's plan stand. The enemy thought that he had won. The enemy thought that he had got the victory. They hung Jesus on the cross. He bled from the sixth to the ninth hour. Enemy thought he had won. They put him in a burial tomb. Stay there all night Friday. Stay there Saturday. But early Sunday morning, God's plan stood up. God's plan stood up. All power. All power. Yes. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, no matter what you're going through, God's plan stand. Yes. You might have heartache, but God's plan stand. You might have disappointment, but God's plan stands. It might not have gone like you planned it, but God's plan stands. You might not be where you thought you'd be right now, but God's plan stands. He that began a great work shall complete it. Don't give up. God's still working. Don't stop praying. God's still working. Don't stop shouting. God's still working. God's still working. God's still working. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, 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 yeah! God's still working. God's still working. He knows you're crying, but he says, I'm still working. He knows your pain, but he says, I'm still working. He knows your heartache, but God's still working. God's still working. God's still working. And you can have joy when he detours your road, knowing that all those detours, God's doing it for your good. All those detours, God's doing it because he loves you. God's giving you those detours because he wants the best for you. I know you had a plan. I know you had an idea of how things were going to go and how things were going to happen. But let me tell you something. God's plan stands. Even when all you wrote down in your journal, even all you wrote down, by the time I'm 35, by the time I'm 40, by the time I'm 40, and all of that seems to be changing year after year, I want you to be encouraged to know that God's plans stand. And detour after detour, but God's plans stand. You can have joy in detours because God's plans stand. There may be someone here today who does not know Christ, and you've had a lot of detours in life, and God has purposely guided you here today. He makes no mistakes. He makes no accidents. If he orders your steps, he's ordered you here. And he says to you, first, I love you. So much so that I gave my son that you might have a right to the tree of life. So much so that when you could not fix it, I already took care of it. And all he says to you is that, look, I want you to experience the life and life more abundantly. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens, they are light. We have a God who says to you, let me guide your steps. Let me go with you. Let me walk this journey with you. Let me go before you and work some things out that you don't even see coming. He calls to you today. As we stand, the doors of the church are open. You can come today to give your life to Christ. You can come today for special prayer. But we want to invite you today to come and trust God in your detours. Trust God to be faithful to do what he said he will do this day.